and AM 1620.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Most of my work to something this large come to life, but I'm just really thankful for the city of Pensacola. I know when DC came up with this concept, I'm sure there was a lot of like, this could go one way or another, but it really, I think, represents Pensacola in such a great way. We have such an artistic community, and just being able to work on something for my town that I'm so proud of, and this town is such a special place, I know, to all of us.
Absolutely. That's Brianna Spence. She is the artist who created the brand new sign. If you're coming into town this morning and you have not had a chance to see it yet, I am presuming that the light is still going to be on through the morning, at least until, you know, sun up, or, you know, like kind of how the Sailfish sign is lit up. But, you know, if you drive into Pensacola on Highway 98 and Three Mile Bridge, you've seen it be erected. You've seen it had all kinds of construction progress. And finally this morning, you'll see it lit up. They lit it up last night for the very first time, and I will say I am a huge fan. I love it. I wasn't sold on this design in the beginning. I wasn't sure. I thought we could have done some other things. It would have been just a little bit more Pensacola. I don't know. But, you know, I had been picturing in my head the Chappie James Memorial Monument, if that ever comes to fruition, on the right-hand side. And then what we're apparently not going to get now, which was, I thought, a beautiful concept for the women monument to women veterans that was going to have the flame, the hovering flame, and you'd be able to see that off the right side as you pass by, like, Fresh Market. But now, right in front of Fresh Market, right between the two roads, you've got this giant pelican sign, which says, you know, welcome to Pensacola, and it's got a couple of other little wordy things on there. Pensacola, Florida, established 1559, and Where Florida Begins, which is our new sort of soft, you know, low-key, our slogan now, which I love that, Where Florida Begins, geographically and in time. But I got a chance to meet Brianna and did a pretty interesting interview with her as well. But I love this design. I was gradually, I wasn't against it. I just wasn't all the way in until really yesterday, and it came on. I thought, oh, this is great.
Kind of just a little bit on how this even came to life. We love to walk the bridge. We love to just take family walks by the beach, and you always see the pelicans flying by. So Harbor the Pelican was born just based off that, and literally our love for Pensacola, like I'm sure all of you guys have too. So I really hope it's here for many years and welcomes everyone home and welcomes all the visitors in, and that everyone just finds a special place in your heart for him.
Yeah, his name is Harbor the Pelican, and comes from her, you know, walking around on the bridge and loving the area and all the pelicans around town and all of that. And she's just wonderful. Like I said, I had a chance to talk to her. She's really, really a sweetheart. Scott Salas with Dalrymple Salas Architecture.
Hannah has just been a delight. I will be very honest and say, when things pivoted and we went to a artistic competition, our team was like, what kind of train wreck is ahead with this idea? And we were kind of scared. We were going to get somebody who'd never built anything. It was difficult to get along, and none of those things happened. Brianna has been a delight. She's so creative.
Absolutely. And, you know, I can understand the apprehension, right? You're an architect, and you're like, what are we going to get here? A public naming contest and a public design a public design contest is always a little bit unusual. Some small little things I learned that, again, I think are fascinating is, this is the kind of thing you would never think of if you're not an artist, but once they say it and you look at the sign, you think, oh, I kind of get that.
Some of y'all may not even know or understand that some of the fonts behind me on the sign are handcrafted fonts. She didn't just go and find something online or anything. So there's a lot of incredibly unique and custom design put into this symbol that is going to welcome people to this city for many, many years.
And when you look at it, you can tell that there are, you know, several different font styles. And I asked her about it, and she said, yeah, basically hand wrote it and then copied that over in the design, but didn't use, you know, it's not like Times New Roman or Courier or Arial. It's, you know, Brianna Spence font. And just, you know, like I said, little things that make it kind of cool. Also, You might wonder, what's it built to withstand?
I mentioned structural engineers earlier. Guys, I can tell you one thing. If the hurricane comes, we ought to go hang out under this thing. It's not going anywhere. Now, the sign may have struggled, but the structure holding it up, it's there.
So we now have on the eastern edge of Gulf Breeze, of course, you got the sailfish sign pointing you to Pensacola Beach. You now on the sort of the eastern edge of Pensacola when you're inbound, you have the Pelican sign pointing you towards Pensacola, welcoming you on in and just saying, hey, good to have you here. We love it. I'm thrilled. I love this kind of stuff. I think it really adds flavor, character, landmarks, all of that stuff, I think, enhances a sense of place in town. And so I'm very, very excited about this. And I was, like I said, I wasn't quite sure how excited to be. And then they lit it up last night. And I'm like, oh, this is really cool. Anyway, you can watch the video, the light up, on our Facebook page, News Radio 92.3. PJ is in this morning for John Pickens with our traffic on the fives. PJ?
The sign is a new hurricane shelter. I like that.
Yeah. No. Oh, and by the way, like, part of how that makes sense, a dock element of it. If you look, there's a dock below the Pelican, below the pole the Pelican's attached to. Mm-hmm. And at first you think, what is it? Well, that's the pier or the dock, but it's also a very important structural stability element of the design that's just built into making it look cool. Mm. That's the part you could hang out under for sure.
Very cool.
Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
All right, we are not seeing any accidents or slowdowns on our roadways this morning. I-10, 110 looking good. Not showing any slowdowns either on Pine Forest or in Carr City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you are considering the prospect of buying a new home, an additional home, a vacation rental, an Airbnb, or a long-term rental, or a beach home, or home on the water, or whatever, call Christina Leavenworth and talk to her. And really, I recommend calling her before you've made a decision. You know, because a lot of times what happens is we make a decision, then we call an expert to help us implement it, which is fine. I mean, there's nothing really wrong with that. But what if you called an expert like Christina Leavenworth and asked her before you've made a decision in order to get information? Hey, here's what we're thinking about. What do you think the tariffs are going to do to this? What do you think the price of Canadian lumber is going to do to this? What are you noticing about people's willingness or eagerness to buy or sell? And how are interest rates on loans affecting the profitability of long-term rentals? Well, those are all good things to ask, but ask before you make a decision in order to make a good decision. She and her folks at Leavenworth Realty sell somewhere in the vicinity of 150 to 200 homes, 200 plus actually over the previous couple of years, and the market would be a little bit, little bit cooler the last couple of years, been 175 or so, but, you know, a lot of homes. So they really know. They have seen everything that's happening, and they can tell you what's going on. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Amanda Ann's Antiques announces their new location and grand opening this Saturday. Shop antiques, jewelry, treasures, and thousands of unique items. Amanda Ann's is loaded to the brim, and their all-new 14,000-square-foot complex is the largest antique store in Escambia County. They have food vendors, giveaway drawings every hour, plus deals throughout. Amanda Ann's Antiques grand opening this Saturday from 10 until 5 at their new location, 470 South Highway 29 in Cantonment.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Steve Austin, astronaut, a man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can stronger, faster.
Good morning, 620 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Trading kicks off this morning on Wall Street. Stock futures pointing a little bit lower today, but yesterday President Trump announced a 90-day pause on some tariffs, and that sent the Dow surging over 3,000 points Wednesday. Aside from the stock market, the Consumer Price Index will also be the focus of attention today. That'll be released later this morning. The death toll still rising after that horrible roof collapse in the Dominican Republic. That happened on Tuesday, and now they're saying 184 people have died as of last check, with several injured. Of course, among the dead was two former Major League Baseball players. And the Connecticut Supreme Court is refusing to hear an appeal filed by conspiracy theorist Alex Jones of that $1.4 billion judgment against him. The judge and jury awarded that money to the families of the Sandy Hook school shooting victims after Jones had repeatedly called the killings a hoax and said that the families were paid actors.
Yeah,
I mean, he's now out of appeals in Connecticut on this.
I will never cry over anything that is adverse to Alex Jones. I'll say it that way lightly, okay? For people who bring disrepute upon our entire industry and deserve everything they get. I'll say it that way. David, thanks so much for the update. 622 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Big news that came out yesterday. Scott Yenner, the very controversial appointee to the UWF Board of Trustees, has been, well, he's self-deported. Well, I guess you can't self-deport if you never were in a place. And he's, as far as I know, never actually been here and certainly doesn't live here. But he's self-removed and he resigned. Okay. And I will say this, and you've heard me talk about this quite a bit. And, just to recap, he said some, fairly incendiary things during a speech that he gave several years ago and in other contexts. I watched that speech. I think that though I thought those were mistake ways to express himself, a lot of what he said in that speech I actually agree with. But never let a good, bad quote go to waste. That has been used heavily against him. And I think that him being out of state and him not being from here and him having controversial ideas and just the fact that the community was really, really opposed to him, that was good enough, that he shouldn't be, and he certainly shouldn't have been the chairman of the board. You shouldn't be the chairman of the board when you're the brand new person anyway. Like, everything about this whole scenario is wrong. That said, each of the other Board of Trustees members ought to be evaluated on their own merits, their own background, their own comments. And also, it's fair to say if they all voted unanimously for him, that's a mark against them. It is. Because that's crazy. And just like they had put other people in charge of all the committees, like the whole new hostile takeover folks were, put in charge of a bunch of stuff. Again, all that said, one of the members who did not get approved the first time they went through the first Senate committee hearing, Adam Kissel, I actually think, even though he's not from here, is actually a great addition to the board, a very sharp guy who knows a lot. But we'll see what plays out with that. Meanwhile, the letter from Scott Yenner to President Martha Saunders, because there had been a question about whether she would have to be forced out, especially given some of his comments about women in higher education in the past. Anyway, his letter to her says, his email to her says, "Dear President Saunders, Governor Ron DeSantis' higher education reforms are models for the country. I was looking forward to bringing the governor's positive vision for higher education at the University of West Florida as a member of the Board of Trustees. Opposition to my nomination among a group within Florida's Senate, however, leads me to resign from UWS Board of Trustees effective immediately." It's an interesting way to phrase it, right? Kind of this small group of rebels. As opposed to, the entire Pensacola community. I mean, I am probably the closest thing you get to anybody who's even willing to give him a hearing or offer a defense of some of the stuff that he said. And I didn't want him to be on the board. I certainly didn't want him to be the chairman. Okay, so yeah, opposition by a few, dissidents within the Senate. He goes on. Patriotic reformers in higher education need to imagine a different future. Well, not a different future from what UWF is doing, because UWF is thriving. Anyway, we know that the higher education status quo is bad for the country. Okay, I think that's true. Broadly speaking, that's true. Having taught at universities, you know, around the St. Louis area, you know, I don't know, I've never counted, but like 10 or 12 different ones. I think that's true. I think the higher education is in a crisis. But that's not the same as saying UWF is in a crisis. Eliminating pernicious practices from our universities is a start, and Florida has led the way. Building great American universities is now a high priority for President Trump, Governor DeSantis, and others. I will continue my work to make America's universities great. Make America's universities great. Maug. Make or Mauga, I guess, if you add it again. UWF has, too, has great potential to celebrate Western civilization while staying connected to the dynamic economic changes. I wish UWF the best, sincerely. You know, you ever read something and think, oh, that's dripping with bitter. There's nothing overtly bitter in this email, but this is not a happy email. This is, I could have done great things with you, and good luck finding anybody as good as me. You know, like what the kind of problematic partner in the relationship says, you can break up with me, but you'll never do better. I mean, you know, that's the feel like. PJ, am I reading this wrong, do you think? Am I overinterpreting? You don't want to say it. Okay.
There's a little sarcasm in it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyway, you know, he's out. So, and we have the three other board members are going to be in front of the Senate committee this week. We'll talk more about that in a second. PJ is in for John Pickens this morning with our traffic on the fives. PJ?
Thanks, Andrew. There's just a little bit of congestion at the front gate of NAS Pensacola on Duncan Road, so be aware of that. Gulf Beach Highway, not showing any signs of delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
What we need is a Flonase for the front gate so that we can alleviate.
Oh, the congestion.
Sorry. It's just, that's how my brain works. Anyway, oh, speaking of how the brain works, I just put a thing up on Facebook. And it. So I'm driving to work this morning, and I had an idea for the frivolous topic. And I did what I should not do, which is I did not write it down. And then a half hour later, I think, wait, I had a good idea. What was it? And then I'm thinking, well, oh, I thought of it somewhere in connection with getting to work. Like, I will not remember this way. So I started going through the timeline. Okay, I was pouring the coffee into the, and it wasn't there. I was getting in the garage, and no, it wasn't there. I was driving, it wasn't there. I was listening to the radio, it wasn't there. I was getting out of the car. Ah! It was when I was getting out of the car. Now, why is it that if I can go through, and I'm 54, okay? Why is it that if I can go through the process of reconstructing the memory timeline of what produced the idea, and then I can remember the idea, why can't I just remember the idea? Because, PJ, when you were 15, did you have to work your way through your own personal 3-minute last history in order to remember?
No. In my early 20s, I remembered everything, and now it's just impossible.
Oh, my God. And you still, to this day, probably remember the things from your early 20s.
I do.
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the race. Okay, or welcome to the age. Anyway, the other three or three of the other nominees for the board are going to be up for confirmation in their first Senate hearing today. Gates Garcia, Chris Young, I think is his name. And Paul Bailey are going to be up. Interesting side note, two thoughts. One, Bailey is a local attorney. He's a Crestview attorney. He's an adjunct teacher, a professor at Pensacola Christian College, and he went to PCC. That makes him local, but I've always thought it was weird that an adjunct is not a full professor, right? I mean, I've been an adjunct. An adjunct at a, you might say, competitor university is going to sit on the board of another university in the same market. That's weird. I mean, I don't have anything against him personally, but that's odd. You know? It's just, and I don't know, that always sits a little bit odd with me, so we'll see what happens. Also, Michelle Salzman, I actually listened to this hearing the other day, the Education and Employment Committee, I think it was, and she was presenting a bill on education. What I missed was part of what was in that bill. And kudos, Rick Outzen actually was reporting on this. I give him credit for, you know, catching it. Two things that are in that bill is that there's a reform in the structure of the Board of Governors and Board of Trustees. And one of the reforms for any Board of Trustee member in the future is you have to either be a Florida resident or you have to have been a graduate of that university, which is sort of obvious and common sense, but hadn't been needed to be implemented until she came along and said, I think we're going to avoid having this kind of a problem in the future.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A prisoner swap with Russia frees a Russian-American woman charged with treason, Ksenia Karolina.
Karolina was arrested in January of 2024 in Yekaterinburg during a visit to see her family. She was jailed for donating about $50 to a charity supporting Ukraine on the first day of Russia's invasion. The court found her guilty of high treason, sentencing her to imprisonment in a penal colony.
Fox's Alex Hogan. The swap is for a man accused of illegally exporting electronics for Russian military equipment. It's now at least 184 deaths confirmed in a nightclub roof collapse in the Dominican Republic.
Rescue workers are still trying to dig through the rubble of the Jet Set Club in Santo Domingo, but they don't hold out much hope for the 20 people thought still trapped in the ruins. Many of those in hospital are said by doctors to be badly hurt, eight in a critical condition.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 52 degrees right now. Clear skies this morning in Pensacola. We've got an update. Two juveniles are now charged with battery. This is in that case involving the teenagers and a local homeless man. Pensacola police say they are investigating this case after a video posted to social media showed a teen arguing with the man. Then punching him several times. Police say the victim did decline to press charges, but...
Collaborated with the state attorney's office. We decided that it's best to pursue charges in this case, and we believe that's going to happen very soon.
And that's PPD spokesman Mike Wood. And again, an update received here in the last 20 minutes is two juveniles are being charged with battery in that case. Well, bad news in Bruton. The largest employer in that community is planning to shut their doors. Greed Manufacturing, they say they'll be halting operations at their Bruton factory and laying off 220 workers. The plant's been in Bruton for over 50 years. Greed tells AL.com that the company's considering using that plant as a storage site or potentially for research purposes. They also say that their employees have been offered severance packages. Well, controversial UWF Board of Trustees Chairman Dr. Scott Yenner has officially resigned. He sent a resignation letter yesterday to UWF President Dr. Martha Saunders. He cited opposition from within the state Senate.
I don't understand why he waited so long, knowing that the entire area, the community, was against them, did not support them.
And that is Jean Godwin. She runs the Save UWF organization, which was organized following Yenner's appointment to the board. And she says the school was doing well when Yenner and three other board appointments were made by Governor DeSantis. And those appointees, Paul Bailey, Chris Young, and Gates Garcia, have their first round of hearings in the Senate Appropriations Committee on Higher Education today. Now, there is an effort underway to limit the governor's influence when it comes to picking college presidents. Escambia County Republican State Representative Michelle Salzman sponsoring this bill. It would prevent the governor or his staff from discussing a presidential opening with the school's leaders. The bill also lifts the requirement that the Board of Governors confirm a school's choice for president. A similar bill has been filed in the state Senate. Pensacola State College's new aviation and power plant training facility is now under construction after a groundbreaking earlier this week. That could mean thousands of jobs in our area in the future.
These are jobs that are in excess of 115% of the area average wages. So it's continually raising the bar for our citizens and income.
And that is former Triumph Board Chair David Baer. A portion of the PSC facility was funded by Triumph Gulf Coast grants from BP oil spill money. Baer says Triumph's first mission was to help the economy recover. The second half of their mission was to diversify the local economy so it's not as dependent on tourism. It is 6:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. PJ, what are you seeing out there?
Thanks, David. Just a little bit of congestion at the front gate of NAS Pensacola on Duncan Road. We'll keep an eye on that for you. I-10, 110 looking really good. If you are on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre and Gulf Breeze, that is also flowing smoothly. If you notice anything, 437-1620 on PJ with your traffic on the 5s.
Thank you very much, PJ. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
Another nice and spring-like day is on tap for your Friday eve. After a little bit of a cool start with temperatures in the 50s, warming up nicely into the afternoon with temperatures in the middle 70s. Lots of sunshine on the way with nice and clear skies going into tonight. Temperatures drop into the lower 60s and into the day on Friday to wrap up the week back in the middle 70s with lots of sunshine. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR First Warning Weather Update.
Thank you very much, Marion. Right now we've got 52 degrees in Pensacola, 53 in Gulf Breeze, and 48 reported in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Breaking news, the European Commission has announced the European Union will pause its first set of retaliatory tariffs on U.S. goods for 90 days. EC President Ursula von der Leyen said the bloc had taken note of President Trump's own 90-day suspension of the highest rate of his sweeping global tariffs. Treasury yields moved lower this morning as investors breathed a sigh of relief after President Trump enacted a 90-day tariff reprieve on most countries. The 10-year Treasury yield was lower by over 10 basis points at 4.288%. A Monroe company that makes plastic sheeting used in consumer and industrial products will spend $12.5 million to add production lines to its manufacturing plant. Louisiana Economic Development said the work will create 12 new permanent jobs. Futures are sharply lower after yesterday's historic rally that came after Trump's reciprocal tariff pause. The Dow Industrial gained 2962 on Wednesday, the NASDAQ up 1857, the S&P 500 up 474. Back to your money now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avacincaptad pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
The Studer Community Institute, with many others, is dedicated to creating America's first early learning city right here in Pensacola. To do that, Rishi and I built the United States' first early learning sensory garden right at the corner of Baylin Street and Main Street. Yep, right by the brew-through. Bring your child. Not only will they have fun, but they'll also learn a lot. And while you're there, you can have a coffee or a smoothie or a bite to eat. So please, bring your child down to the brew-through to the early learning sensory garden. Thank you.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
CS for HB 179, Florida Institute for Human and Machine Cognition, by Representative Andrade.
Members, House Bill 179 relates to the Florida Institute for Human and Machine Cognition. If you're not familiar with IHMC, it's an incredible institution established in the same statutory framework as the Moffitt Cancer Center down in Tampa. However, its focus of research is robotics. If you've ever wondered what work we're doing at the state level to help our warfighters perform in like the most caustic and uncomfortable situations at high altitudes, low altitudes, below the sea. If you ever wonder what we're doing to help people who may be paraplegics walk with the assistance of an exoskeleton, or how we're working on addressing, say, the proliferation of DJI drones that are controlled by China, I'd invite you to come to Pensacola and visit IHMC with me. This bill just helps them restructure their governance somewhat and allows them to operate in the manner they see best fit to use their intellectual property to put it the best use for the citizens.
It doesn't sound like there's anything particularly controversial in here or maybe even newsworthy, but this is Alex Andrade, State Representative for District 2, presenting HB 179, a bill to reform the government and a couple of the elements in the structure of the Institute for Human and Machine Cognition, IHMC, here locally. But let me tell you what the parts are that are worth noticing and then some interesting parts about this hearing. The part that I think is probably the more substantial part is, even though I don't pretend to understand the full significance of it, but IHMC, it's not sort of like one big thing. It's more of a collection of many subsidiary units and people that are, you know, cross-pollinating with each other and working on different projects and sub-entities. And I think the gist of this is that intellectual property, patents and the like, and they work with a lot of grant funding and draw funding from all over the place. And it's a very interesting model for how they operate. And they do amazing stuff. I think what this is primarily designed to do, that part of the bill, is to allow the subunits to own and retain the IP and therefore to sell it, market it, do whatever they need to do with it. So it's a fairly technical part of the bill. A little bit more interesting part of the bill is that IHMC's board of directors, one of the automatic members of the board of directors is the chairman of the board of UWF Board of Trustees. So Scott Yenner, being the chairman of the board of UWF, well, until yesterday, was an automatic appointee onto the IHMC board, which under normal circumstances would be no big deal. You'd think, well, you know, IHMC, the university, they may well work together. They may have, you know, overlapping or intersecting concerns. And, you know, certainly whoever's going to be the chairman of the board of trustees at UWF is certainly qualified to be a member of the board at IHMC. Well, when Scott Yenner came around, IHMC said, oh, hell no. And I don't know if they removed him, forced him out, kept him out. I don't think he was ever involved in anything. But this is the bill that changes all of that, because what it does instead is it makes the appointees to IHMC, it deletes the mandatory bid, essentially, for the chairman of the board. So this is definitely a byproduct, again, of this completely weird thing that Governor DeSantis tried to do to UWF and is still in the process of being sort of undone or managed, or however you want to say it. But what I thought was also fascinating is this was a neat opportunity for Alex to explain to the members of this particular committee things that they did not know about IHMC, because even though we know it here, at least, I mean, most people here know it. And if you don't, that's fine. You know, always learn things you don't know. But people around the state don't know IHMC unless they're kind of in that industry, in that vicinity. Yvonne Hinson was, she had just previously to this been fighting with Alex over his education bill about the charter schools, you know, like the city of Pensacola having the ability to take on sponsorship of a charter school. And, you know, she's a Democrat, a defender of the traditional schools. And, you know, we're offering various reform. He's offering a reform. So she was fighting with him over that, which is the context of this comment.
Zim Henson, you are recognized.
So I let that go because this is a much nicer bill. although my questions were about governance, I'm more interested, I think, in what it is you guys are doing. So in your close, would you please help us understand what you're doing with human and machine cognition? Is it like AI? Is it robotics? Just could you help us understand what it is? And thank you for the bill.
Yeah, and there was kind of more of that. It was a really cool moment, opportunity for Alex to promote Pensacola and what IHMC is doing. More on that in just a second. If you need any kind of repairs done to your AC, you need freon injected, maybe you need a part to be replaced, maybe you've got a heating element issue, on the other side of the equation, or you got plumbing stuff, or you got electrical stuff. You know, things are kind of the complicated, semi-complicated, challenging repairs inside your home. Well, Peden takes care of all that stuff. For 55 years, they've been helping people solve these problems all along the Gulf Coast, Tallahassee, Panama City, Pensacola, recently Baldwin County, Mobile. They will help you in all these areas. 100% satisfaction guarantee. They want to make sure that you're happy with what you get. Professional folks show up on time, do the work that they're supposed to do, and make sure that you get exactly what you need. Now, right now, during the month of April, they've got a special going on related to allergies, dust, pollen, and dander. Raise your hand if. I mean, my God. Let's squeegee the car off. It's been 6 hours since we cleaned it last, right? But no, inside your home, same problem. And cleaning the air inside your home is a major health concern or just a general quality of life issue. So they've got $250 off indoor air quality systems during the month of April. If you'd like to reduce, again, the allergens, the dust, pollen, and the dander inside your home, they give them a call or check them out online. Peden, PEADEN.com. We got traffic on the fives now with PJ sitting in for John Pickens today.
This traffic update is brought to you by Lear Capital. Our financial system is cracking under pressure. Your retirement is at risk. Take control now. Lear Capital is offering a free Sky High Silver Report and Precious Metals IRA Guide at betternestegg.com. Don't leave your future to chance. Taking a look at the big board here, there is a vehicle crash at East Bay Boulevard and Harvell Circle. Use caution in that area, according to Florida Highway Patrol. Otherwise, looking good. I-10, 110, looking very good. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
And PJ, I blinked.
Why is Marie Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Cops, Cars, and Crawfish is back on Saturday, April 12th. It's a car show and a crawfish boil to benefit the Escambia County Sheriff's Foundation. The gates at Five Flag Speedway open to the public at 10 a.m., and you can bring your family out to wander around and see some incredible cars. There's trophies, door prizes, a 50-50 raffle, a free movie on the big screen, the People's Choice Awards, and of course, crawfish. The Cat Crew's going to be there. We'll be bringing the fun and games. We'll look forward to seeing you at Cops, Cars, and Crawfish 2025.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I am the
I need TV for my bunghole.
David, you look surprised, shocked, entertained. What expression am I reading over there?
I wasn't expecting it.
You weren't expecting. Well, nobody expects the great Cornholio. That's why he's so effective. He's a master of disguise and surprise. 6:49 here on News Radio 92.3. Since I got you here, let's take a look at some headlines if we can.
Well, absolutely. The Connecticut Supreme Court refusing to hear an appeal filed by Alex Jones. He's now out of appeals. This is in the $1.4 billion that he was levied against him to the families of Sandy Hook victims. Director James Toback is being ordered to pay over $1.5 billion to 40 women who accused him of sexual assault. Toback is best known as a screenwriter for the 1991 film Bugsy, which got him an Oscar nomination at the time.
I'm going to guess he doesn't have $1 billion.
But I would, yeah.
Just taking a wild stab, big claim to fame is Bugsy.
You don't think that was a multi-billion dollar film?
I don't think he made $1 billion off Bugsy. And no, I don't think Bugsy generated $1 billion. I think Bugsy might have been a $50 million movie. I'll look real quick while you're talking. Go ahead.
And golf's first major championship begins today in Augusta. Players are teeing off in chilly conditions this morning in the 89th edition of the Masters Tournament at the Augusta National Golf Club.
Oh, my God. I am the best guesser ever. Bugsy, 1991, box office. $49.1 million.
Oh, wow. What are the odds of that?
Random, blind, big front teethy stab in the dark. That's a.
What'd you say, 49.6?
49.1.
Okay, so you were within $900,000.
Yeah, that's a really good
guess.
That's
great.
That was a Warren Beatty jab, by the way. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:51 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Back to the comments that were made during the... fairly quick committee stop for Alex Andrade on this HB 179 IHMC bill that allows them to more directly manage some of the intellectual property and some of their subsidiary units, and also would delete or change the requirement that the Board of Trustees chairman at UWF would be an automatic bid member onto the board of the IHMC governance. Jennifer Kennedy, a Republican who is the chair of the committee he was talking to, because, again, they don't know IHMC. They're not from Pensacola.
I will simply say I will take you up on that invitation to come and visit, and I look forward to learning more about some of the extraordinary things that we are doing in Florida to assist our warfighters to identify and get in front of some of the most pernicious challenges that we face. So it is exciting when we have institutions like the Florida Institute for Human Machine Cognition that take on those challenges.
It really is. It really is. The work they're doing is amazing. And Alex recapped when he was closing on the bill, which of course passed unanimously, of course, but just kind of teaching people about some of the amazing stuff that IHMC does.
Which, again, the Institute of Human Cognition, they take massive research dollars from the federal government and do incredible things like helping blind people see colors using taste. These are things that I couldn't possibly imagine. And there have been private industries that have rolled out of IHMC using the intellectual property that IHMC develops. This bill simply allows them to set up nonprofits in the manner they see fit to do the same thing and put their intellectual property to use faster in the market. It also changes their governance somewhat. So I hope I can count on your support.
Yeah, and of course they passed unanimously. I mean, they do. You know, they do the robot, the Atlas robot project. One of the things they were working on more recently. I was at a speech that some of the IHMC folks were at, and they were talking about developing gloves for the military that would feel like your hand feels when it touches something. You say, why is that so important? Because when you have members of the military deployed into adverse environments, particularly cold, frostbite, and, you know, losing your hands and fingers and the inability to function effectively in a cold environment is a major challenge. And if you either have the choice between protecting your fingers from the cold or being able to effectively fire your firearm, well, you choose firing your firearm so they don't wear gloves and they get frostbite and they have problems. So developing gloves that feel like you're not wearing gloves and function like you're not wearing gloves, I mean, that's a pretty cool project. That's just like, I mean, and how to make that happen. You know, that's like a little thing that they're working on. Just, anyway, every time I find out about something IHMC is doing, it's always, oh, that's really... wow, good. Meanwhile, and just kind of very vaguely in this vicinity, is that I know all of the people who represent us locally, whether it's at the state level or at the federal level or anywhere else, always feel a little bit like they're the ambassadors, you know, for our area to educate people and explain and promote our area. And in the what I think is the first real thing that he has done in Congress, we actually saw that with Jimmy Petronis. This was yesterday when he was giving a speech in Congress about Walton County Sheriff Deputy Will May.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Florida, Mr. Petronis, for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this morning I rise with a heavy heart over the loss of one of Florida's finest. On Wednesday, April the 2nd, Walton County Sheriff's Deputy William May responded to a local disturbance where he was fired upon by an armed suspect. As Deputy May returned fire, he was wounded by the assailant and subsequently died. Due to his bravery, Deputy May was able to end the potential threat to the community before succumbing to his injuries.
One of the jobs of somebody like your congressional representative is to take time on the floor of the House in order to make these kinds of speeches. And I thought Jimmy did a great job. We'll come back to the rest of the speech in just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives first. PJ?
Looks like there is a hit-and-run crash at East Bay Boulevard and Harvell Circle in Navarre. They're saying use caution in that area. Looking at the front gate of NES Pensacola, just a little bit of congestion there, so be aware of that. We'll keep an eye on it for you. If you notice anything, give us a call or text us, 437-1620. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Jimmy Petronis giving a speech yesterday on the floor of the United States House about the horrible loss of the deputy in Walton County. Walton County is part of Congressional District 1. It's Escambia, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, and kind of like the western half, which he shares with Neil Dunn, the other half.
Deputy May served the Walton County Sheriff's Office for more than a decade, beginning his career as a communications officer in 2014 before taking the oath of office in 2019 as a deputy sheriff. During his time in law enforcement, Deputy May earned life savings awards and multiple letters of accommodation.
Absolutely, he did. And I've mentioned this before. I think Jimmy is, you know, he wears the emotion on his sleeve, which I always like. I was raised to believe that it's okay for a guy to show his emotion. Other people have been raised very differently. I understand that. But I actually appreciate that Jimmy is, in my opinion, my judgment, pretty sincere when he experiences emotion. He's not going to hide it.
Today, the Walton County Sheriff's Office mourns the loss of their fellow deputy. The state of Florida mourns a loss of this hero. A wife mourns a loss of her husband, and four beautiful children mourn the loss of their father. Unfortunately, Deputy May's story is one of many. First responders around our country sacrifice their personal lives working 24/7, 365, missing birthdays, anniversaries, other special occasions in order to keep our American neighborhoods safe.
Amen.
It is an honor to represent parts of Walton County that I share that responsibility with Congressman Neil Dunn, who joins me in this prayer for the members of our local law enforcement. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for this opportunity to honor Walton County Deputy William May and the ultimate sacrifice he made for our communities, and I yield my time to the floor.
So well done, sir. The appropriate thing that you would do when you're in Congress on a horrible event like this. 6:58 on News Radio 92.3. I know the big headline has been the surge in the markets yesterday caused by President Trump announcing a delay in the tariffs. You know what's interesting? What is Trump's strategy always has been? Keep his real goal a secret, create uncertainty and unclarity, and if you, it's kind of the, you know, I learned there's a comic named Andy Andrews. I kind of got this idea from him. It's the old, you know, ask for the bike and settle for the skateboard. You know, you stretch what you ask for and then you get what you really want because you asked for way more than you got for it. Like when you're selling a thing, you know, you say, you know, how much is it? Well, it's $5,000. Oh, I couldn't pay $5,000. Would you take $4,000? Yeah, that's what I wanted in the first place. Like that kind of a thing. So he's done a thing like this because with the tariffs, buried in and amongst all the rest of the news is, we still have a 10% tariff on everybody. and a significantly higher tariff on Chinese products, right? So, say 60, say 70, say 80% tariffs, and then, okay, fine. We'll take off all the tariffs, except for the 10%.
Local Talk in the Morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
And kind of also in that context, when you're listening to the coverage of the market surge from yesterday, did you hear a lot of people use the phrase, how many trillions of dollars of value or wealth were created? People who do use the phrase destroyed previously.
Europe stands down. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. The European Union's just paused its retaliatory tariffs on American exports for the same 90 days President Trump paused reciprocal tariffs worldwide after days of stock market turmoil. Top White House economic advisor Kevin Hassett just told Fox.
He made, I think, the absolutely right decisive call to go with really the bigger move rather than announce one or two trade deals. But go with the bigger move so that everybody in the world understands that he means what he says.
Well, Hassett says many countries are negotiating deals. Not China, though. The president increased the tariffs on imports from there to 125%.